This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Protocol for Life Balance, offering a wide range of professional-grade products using ingredients backed by strong scientific research. Among them, several stand out, which can help keep your blood vessels healthy and your circulatory system working properly, including Protocol's unique soy-free form of vitamin K2 that has been shown to promote healthy vascular structures, and D3, which helps maintain healthy blood levels of calcium. They're available in several forms and dosages, including a new combined formulation, which harnesses the synergistic effects of both K2 and D3. They're backed by solid scientific data and available now at drhoffman.com/protocol for life balance. That's drhoffman.com/protocol for life balance for more information and to order. Welcome to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. This podcast is going to focus on respiratory health. Respiratory health, very important from the standpoints of dealing with spring allergies. We've been talking a lot about that because it's that time of year. A lot of people are afflicted with nasal congestion, sneezing, and sometimes chronic sinus problems. But there's a big tie-in to our current pandemic because, well, the point of origin of COVID-19 appears to be in the nasal passages. That's where it takes root. Once it takes root there, it can propagate and can become a more serious infection affecting you systemically. So if we could just nip it in the bud when it's in the nose, minor cold, minor symptoms, goes deeper into the body, it can affect all organ systems. So it seems like a lot of research is now being done on how to stop the virus in its tracks, prevent it from attaching or propagating, going deep into the circulatory system and so on. We're going to talk to an expert on this subject. He's a frequent contributor here on Intelligent Medicine. He's Dr. Lon Jones. He's an osteopathic physician. He's board certified in family practice with a long history seeing patients. And working with especially kids, but patients of all ages. He is the primary developer of the nasal use of xylitol. And we're going to talk a little bit about the way he discovered that. This is a personal story because he started by successfully treating his granddaughter's ear infections after reading about extensive research performed in Finland about the benefits of xylitol. He then adapted it for use here in the United States. Now, xylitol nasal spray is commercially available. He's authored many books. We'll talk a little bit about some of his new literary forays. He joins us today to discuss the whole idea that nasal sprays, like clear nasal spray, should be part of the solution to not just our current health crisis, but to all kinds of health issues that originate in the upper airway. So without further ado, here's Dr. Jones. Pleasure having you back on Intelligent Medicine. Thanks for joining us again today.
Thanks for having me.
It's my great pleasure. So is this one of those apocryphal stories about how this developed, or is this like the real deal, that you test drove a xylitol nasal spray first on your grandkids? And you got a whole passel of grandkids, right? Quite a brood.
Yeah, quite a few.
Yeah, so it was like, okay, dad or grandpa, you know, the kids are, you know, getting sick all the time. Well, what have you got up your sleeve? And I know that you've always sought out, you know, more natural solutions. You're not a big proponent of dosing kids with antibiotics at the drop of a hat.
Yeah, the backstory of that is of interest and pertinent too, because before I went to medical school, I got a master's degree in the history of science and ideas at the University of Washington. And that training in history of science and ideas really had a lot to do with, or an impact, I guess is a better word, an impact on my medical training. And one of the things that I noticed pretty quick off in medical school was that our focus is on the bacteria that cause all of our illnesses. And that focus is almost entirely offensive. We want to find out how to kill the viruses, the bacteria, whatever is causing our illnesses. And it's an offensive battle, and we don't really think about defense. But defense is important. In all of our sports games and in the game of life, there's offensive teams and defensive teams. And they have different functions, but the offense is to score, to live a long life, a healthy life. The defense is to stop the microbes that are trying to recycle us from doing their job. And we have tools for both. If you look at the last 100 and 200 years, and our life expectancy increased dramatically during that period of time, the major reasons for those increases in our life expectancy have been defenses, and they've been external defenses. We have screens and bed nets for malaria. We have clean water for cholera and dysentery and all the other things that we get from drinking polluted water. We have a Food and Drug Administration that keeps our food clean, supposedly. At least they try.
Right.
But all of those defenses stop at our body. Nobody thinks about the defenses that we have inside of us. And those are defenses that developed over thousands, if not millions of years. They're probably the best that are available. And when I first started practicing was when we learned about oral rehydration and how well it worked for treating cholera. Cholera is an infectious disease that gets in our GI tract, and it kills us. It kills us because people die of dehydration. They don't die of the infection. It's dehydration. It's our immune system sensing that something in this bacteria, Vibrio cholera, is bad enough for us that it opens all of the faucets in our GI tract and pours water into our GI tract so that we wash it out as fast as we can, and we die of dehydration because we can't keep up with it. But if you drink a combination of salt and sugar and water in the right proportions, it turns a system on in the stomach and the small intestine that pumps water into our body. And if people with cholera drink as much as they lose, and hopefully a little bit more, they keep their fluid tank full. They're able to wash out the bacteria. They live. And that's what they found in the early 70s when they were studying oral rehydration.
And it's a very low-tech solution. It's a low-tech solution that really has made a difference. Yeah, it's not some monoclonal antibody or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. The important thing is that it's a low-tech solution that optimizes our defense. People see it as a therapy. It is a therapy because people live from it. But the way it works, it optimizes that GI defense that we have that is gastroenteritis. So instead of treating gastroenteritis, you honor it and you keep the tank full and let it work. That's the important message. I took that into my practice, and for all of my practice, GI illnesses were best treated by just giving people a recipe how to make it. And you can do that in your kitchen. It's easy. And it formed a part of my practice, and it formed a way of practicing, because when my granddaughter came up with her recurrent ear infections, I knew that ear infections started in the back of the nose. I knew from my previous experience that saline, which washes the nose supposedly, did not do that much good for ear infections. And when I read about the study in Finland where if kids chew gum 5 times a day with xylitol in their school system there because it prevents tooth decay, when I read that study about it preventing 40% of ear infections, I said, we need to put it in your nose because that's where the bacteria started. And the people who wrote the article said it works on the bacteria.
Mm-hmm.
But we put it in the nose and ear infections went away. And then I gave it to a grandson who was allergic to the other grandmother's cat, and he could go visit grandma as long as he kept his nose clean.
Mm.
I gave it to a cousin who had asthma, And after using it 3 or 4 times a day for 2 weeks, her asthma went away. Off all of her medicine, playing basketball and doing gymnastics with no asthma. So what this does, it optimizes your nasal defenses. And if we would pay attention to some of the literature, there was a guy from Tasmania who did a study back in 1986. His name was Anthony Arundel. And you can look this up in Medline if you want to. Arundel is A-R-U-N-D-E-L. But he did a study that was published in a U.S. government journal. And he looked at what happens to respiratory conditions when the measure compared to the humidity in the air that we breathe. This is not outside humidity. This is the air that we breathe. Mm-hmm. And he found an optimal zone between 40 and 60%. In that optimal zone, all respiratory conditions were minimal.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I found.
Yeah, just to pause on that. You use the term all respiratory conditions. Now, surely, you know, some of our astute listeners are going to say, okay, you know, xylitol has been demonstrated to be antibacterial, but here we're dealing with the virus. So how can we infer that xylitol may confer benefits potentially against colds, flus, or even the coronavirus that are really not bacterial infections? Bacteria, fine, okay, but what about viruses?
Yeah. Well, there's two ways that xylitol does that, and the first is osmotic, mm-hmm. because it pulls water into your nose and puts us in that range where Arundel found the optimal humidity.
Right. So the moisturizing effect. Yeah.
Right.
Now that may have something to do with optimal defenses. Is that the nasal immune system functions best? There are antibodies and there's physical barriers there that operates best under conditions of moisture. And of course, you know, the average, I'm thinking like the average New York City apartment, you know, with the radiators on, you know, could have the same humidity as the Sahara Desert in July. You know, it's very desiccated.
Yeah, absolutely. And our modern air conditioning and heating.
That too, yeah.
Both of those technologies reduce the amount of water available to our noses in the air that we breathe.
Mm-hmm.
So that relative humidity is down in the 20 and 30% usually.
So mere moisturization has benefits. Okay.
Yes. The key, the way it works is we have our major nasal defenses are the mucociliary process. We have the mucus that grabs onto all of the pollutants and foreign material in the air that we breathe.
Mm-hmm.
And we have the cilia, the microscopic hairs that sweep it out.
Mm-hmm.
And both of them rely on the airway surface fluid, which is a microscopic layer. It's not very much, but a microscopic layer of fluid that's in our noses. And it provides a bath for the cilia in which they can sweep easier. And it provides the water for the mucus that is secreted by goblet cells in the nose in very concentrated form, and it absorbs about 200 times its volume in water to become the mucus that works.
Mm-hmm.
So both of those processes, cleaning process, the mucus and the cilia, need that water. If the humidity is adequate, you get the water from the water in the air that we breathe. But when we go indoors and turn the heat on or the air conditioning on, we reduce the amount of water available to our nose, and we cripple that system. That's why we get sick.
And there are also beneficial antibodies that are secreted into the mucus that help to tag and recognize invaders and pathogens. So the mucus is uh-huh. not merely a physical barrier. I mean, some of it, to some extent, it is a physical barrier, but which entraps particles and literally conducts them out of the system, but it also is a sort of an enriched substance that contains kind of an immune chicken soup, so to speak.
Yeah.
Right.
One of the major defenses in the mucus, is a combination of complex carbohydrates that literally cover our mucus molecules. Mucus is a long-term proteinaceous and carbohydrate, but on its surface, there are sugar complexes. And it's these sugar complexes that bacteria and viruses and all microbes hang on to sugar complexes when they want to attach to us.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the other thing that xylitol does, because xylitol looks like those sugars, but the sugars on our complexes are fixed in form so that the bacteria can recognize them and hang on to them. Xylitol is a flexible 5-carbon sugar-like molecule, and its flexibility allows it to bend and twist and conform to a lot of those. They're called lectins. They're like microbial hands that hang on to these sugars. And xylitol can fit into those sugar complexes that the bacteria are looking for enough to block the ability of the virus or the bacteria to hold on to us. And that's what the people that did the study, I'm trying to remember the name of their outfit. It's a Argentinian outfit that makes their version of Clear. And they paid the biological containment laboratory in Memphis to do this study. And they were primarily interested in a seaweed extract called iota-carrageenan. And they looked at what happened with the SARS virus, the one that causes COVID. And when they put xylitol and iota-carrageenan in the mix, the virus was gone. They made the mistake of calling xylitol virucidal, but it doesn't kill it.
Okay.
It just fills up the sugar complexes so that the virus is washed out. It's gone. And that's what happens in our noses when we put xylitol in our nose.
Wow. Is there any other evidence that there has been some research on a nasal vaccine, but also there's been some research looking at various compounds sprayed into the nose, because they just think that that's a plausible strategy for prevention if you've had a lot of exposure, or even at the early stages of COVID, so that it doesn't spread. So what are some of the other studies that are along those lines?
Oh, there's lots of them. If you use saline sprays regularly, you decrease the burden of the virus by about half. So even regular saline, they're using iodine, they're using nitric oxide, they're using seaweed extract, not the iota-carrageenan one, but another seaweed extract in England. All of these are nasal applications that have shown benefit. The last I heard was using the preservative in Clear, the one that we're talking about.
Grapeseed extract?
Grapefruit seed extract. Grapefruit seed extract. That's toxic to the virus in 15 minutes.
Wow. I've also heard, from one of our guests, he was talking about research where people used a heparin preparation in the nasal passages, that somehow the configuration of heparin does something to viral docking. I don't know technically how it impedes the attachment of the virus or the uptake of the virus by the cells, but somehow heparin has also been explored as a protective nasal spray. So it's a principle that has been certainly investigated. Because, clearly the infection doesn't start, it's not likely that the infection starts in the mouth. It's like the pizza delivery man who has COVID, who touched your pizza and you swallow it. It's not really a likely mode of transmission.
Right. But there's a big connection between dental disease and the severity of SARS, of the COVID COVID disease.
Oh, okay.
If your mouth is clean and you have no dental issues or gingivitis or periodontitis, then you don't have the burden
Right. It's almost like the periodontal disease may set the stage for kind of an inflammatory state in the body, you know, much as other inflammatory diseases make you, are considered comorbidities. I guess it's now considered, periodontal disease considered a comorbidity that renders you more vulnerable to COVID.
Right. Yeah.
Well, okay, so that brings us to another aspect of xylitol, because it's available as a nasal spray. You know, you, your son, Nate Jones, has been on the program talking about clear nasal spray, spelled X-L-E-A-R. The X stands for xylitol, so it's pronounced clear, but it's spelled X-L-E-A-R. But also, there's a whole raft of dental products, which are really, that's where it started. The research was in Finland, where they prevented dental decay with xylitol chewing gum. And you have a whole raft of, your son Nate has a whole raft of clear
products,
dental products, which are under the brand name Spry, right? Which have actually have some claim to fame in terms of preventing periodontal disease. So that, in a way, is a bit of an indirect bulwark against severe COVID. I mean, it's not directly attacking the virus. We can't say it's virucidal. But by protecting the nasal passage, by preventing periodontal disease, good dental hygiene and gum hygiene, we have some plausible ways of throwing up a barrier, at the very least. Okay, we're going to pause because we divide our podcast into two parts. In part two, we got more news because you're working on some interesting product projects, and there is word of a EUA. Now, those initials have appeared in the news lately. Emergency use authorization. That's something that the folks at Clear are applying for in relationship to the use of clear nasal spray as a part of an all-of-the-above solution to the COVID pandemic. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Our guest is Dr. Lon Jones. He is the discoverer and propagator of the use of nasal spray for allergy problems and nasal problems. And we might remind you that clear nasal spray is available. Go to clear.com. It's also available at major retailers. We'll have more information for you when we return. This is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.